Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Kick off the show here.
We're in green!
So cleaned up.
Mafias, you are listening to the Mafia Cast. Thank you, first of all, for coming in. The numbers are they're climbing. We want to break a record tonight, people. So if you got friends who are not watching right now, let them know. We're shooting for 1,200 live viewers today. We're already at 100. Guys, what's going on?
It's another week, man. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be one of the few podcasts out, you know, just keeping everyone going through the off season. It's keeping me going. It's just, you know, you think there's not really a lot going on, but man, when you really pay attention, there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah, in the off there's season. Definitely a lot. So there's a lot of national talking heads still talking and trashing the Bills. But what you got going on, Casey? How are you doing?
Oh, long days of work. You know, everybody's American dream: go to work, come home, do a podcast, go to bed, repeat. Other than that, not much. Wife's still doing same old same, working both jobs, hoping she brings me home some ice cream from Cold Stone tonight. So if she does that, it'll be a good day. It'll be a really good day.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Cold Stone. We have a Cold Stone here in Idaho too. I take my granddaughter there sometimes. Speaking of the granddaughter, she is in the house. Well, she's with us this weekend, but she's not in the house right now, so there won't be no little six-year-old heads popping into the frame tonight. She's at a birthday party, but we've got, so first of all, well, let's just do this. Mike, you want to play our little game on?
Oh, yeah, let's get it.
Ad for us really quick. We got to give our sponsors a shout out here.
Yeah, let's get a little word from John, Game On Sports.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153.
That is Game On Sports. John there has a great store. Check them out. They have all sorts of stuff. They're not just Bills related to memorabilia, but all sports.
They got something coming up next month, actually. On May 7th, they have a JSA authentication event. So you can go there in person, or I believe you can drop off your stuff early if you contact them. So a great opportunity for get your signed memorabilia, you know, authenticated, get a certificate, and walk out the door with a certificate for your collection.
Yes.
So
it's awesome. Something stuff.
Cool recently on the page.
If you're listening right now, if you're one of our live viewers, do me a favor, jump over to Facebook really quick, do a search, The Mafia Cast, give our page a like and follow us, and you can check out and keep, you know, be up to date on all of the giveaways that we do through the Game On Sports, all the content that we put over there. We're trying to build that little page over there as well. We're up to a little over 260 followers right now. We would love to get to 500 before we kick off for the 2024 season. So jump over there and do that. We'd love to have you join us. Free agency. I mean, there's a reason why they call it a free agency frenzy, right? Last week, we talked a little bit about, I think, Curtis Samuel, right? Or was that after the fact? You know, it all happened so quickly. I can't remember when he was signed.
We did talk about him last week.
Yeah, we did.
We did address that.
Yeah.
Okay. Since we're on the topic of wide receivers, I do want to take a minute before we get too much further into the free agencies, because there are some others that we want to talk about. But I've been talking with some of the folks, you know, some other fans, Bills fans, and some of the people over at FanSided who I write for about Stephon Diggs, and they've some interesting points have been brought up. At this point, I don't personally know what to think anymore, but I will just say this. His cryptic tweeting did not start until after the Bengals game, after he walked out on the team in the stadium. The same situation with Minnesota. Everything was fine for the first few years, and then he started with the cryptic tweets and all the other drama. I don't know if there's a correlation. Maybe he wants out. Maybe he doesn't. It's a $19 million savings if the Bills were to move on from him this year. I know it's a $22 million cap hit in 2025 if they did that. But I'll just say this. If there's a moment in time where you could do something like that and be able to manage it, it's now, because of the massive jump in the salary cap, which we expect something similar next year. I'm not saying Buffalo's going to do it. But there's a lot of people out there that keep talking about it, so we're going to talk about it. I've seen all sorts of trade options, possibilities that would help the Bills get into as high as the top 15, where they might be able to, or even top 10, where they could get somebody like a Malik Nabers. Marvin Harrison Jr. is out of the question. Don't even suggest that one. I think if they could get high enough, the only one would be Rome Odunze, I think, that they can maybe get high enough for. But what do you guys think about this whole situation? With the Stephon Diggs.
I didn't know you're going to bring it up so early.
we're just going, you know,
yeah.
You know what, but, to the wall.
you know, I have my thoughts on it too. And I'm just like, don't take it too much to heart. Don't take it too seriously. Like last year, I feel like it bothered me a little more. I don't know if this year it's a little more subtle, but like I look at it as, you know, it's not even football season. This tweet could be something not even football related. I don't know. He said,
"I'm
ready."
If it was a one-time tweet, I would agree with you. But this isn't the first time. He keeps doing it.
But he's like ready for whatever. I mean, you could make absolutely anything out of that. So I don't read too far into it. I'm like, maybe he's got some fashion opportunities he's looking into, and he's you know, keeping his options and avenues open there, or you make, you know
that.
What I mean? He does a lot of other
stuff.
I know, but he does a lot of different stuff, you know, in the off season away from football. So, you know, or maybe he's looking for stuff to do because it's not football season, ready for whatever. So take it for what it is. It's a few words and everyone loses their mind. And I'm sure he has fun with it too, getting everyone going, but I don't take it too seriously at this point.
Well, what do you think, Casey?
I see
Mike's point,
value too.
Saying he's having fun with it. Look at what Dan Dawkins did. You know, he had everybody in a frenzy for a total of 8 minutes.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
So, you know, obviously, a little part of them, like, they do enjoy it because they have so much, if not, you know, 90% of their life, you know, put out to the public. And for them, you know, every now and then they're going to throw a little something out there, you know, kind of as, all right, where's the, you know, where could the leak be coming from? You know, put out some, like, some fake news or whatever and, like, see where the leak is coming from. But like Mike said, his tweets are ready for whatever and then, well. Dude, like, ready for whatever. He could be doing any of the things Mike said.
It could literally be whatever.
Maybe.
It's so
big. Maybe he broke up with his girlfriend. Maybe he is selling his car and it's her new car. Like, that's a whole thing. Like, who knows?
But why
and then
now?
After he, but that's after the he thing. Tweeted why that, now? After he tweeted this, he put up a picture on Instagram of him working out in Bills shorts. Yeah. We've seen these players; they have, you know, 1,000 pairs of shorts from any brand, any team that they wear. So he chose to wear Bills stuff.
Well, he does play for the Bills, and he's like, committed to the Bills as long as he's here.
But that's my point. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like he put out the answer, like, and it was pretty quick after he put out those tweets, and everybody started freaking out again for no reason.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Here's your answer. I'm working out in Bills stuff." Everything is fine.
Right. I got one more thing to add to that. And it's just like, it's just negative energy that we don't need right now. Like, the time is now. We need everyone's support.
That,
like,
I agree with you 100% you know, there, but that's also on him because he knows he's creating that negative energy by putting out these random tweets. I'm not against him. I'm not.
But then people bring up all the bad stuff. You know?
And like with the thing with the Deion Dawkins, that was funny because it lasted a few days. And then he was like, ha, you guys, you really think I'm going anywhere? Diggs has never said that. He's never followed up a tweet and said, I'm just messing with you guys. This is so much fun. Not once.
I just told you proof he did when he posted the picture of him working out in Bill's stuff.
Subtle.
Like a day or two later. Yeah, but that's Diggs' whole thing is subtlety. Deion Dawkins is more so in your face. Diggs is subtlety.
Yeah.
So like I just put the pieces together.
Yeah. No, I like I said, I don't honestly know what to think. We're not in his head. We don't have those conversations with him. But trying to put myself in a player's shoes, to me, I would be like, Diggs, stop. This is, like you said, negative energy we don't need on this team. The media asks the players the questions all the time, right? We just lost Kate. Oh, there he goes. And I remember in the press conferences last year, and before the season started, they were talking to Mitch Morris, and he was getting annoyed with the questions, and you could tell. And it's like, look, I just have a job to do. And that's what I'm here to do is my job. Those types of responses to me tells me that some of the players are annoyed by it. Whether they're annoyed by just strictly the media or they're annoyed by the fact that he keeps instigating this, I couldn't tell you. But, it's just, again, it's one of those things that it's part of the conversation now. We always hear about it. In fact, I can't remember what site it was, but they put out a top five landing spots for Stephon Diggs. And it's funny because one of those five that they mentioned was the Arizona Cardinals, who just happened to have just announced, well, Ian Rappaport actually reported that the Cardinals are shopping their fourth pick in the draft. So I'm like, let's see. Fourth pick in the draft, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Not a chance.
They would have to package so much more than Stephon Diggs to do that. That is such Diggs,
from what I saw, to get up to, I want to say it was like number nine. They'd have to package Diggs, 28, a second next year, and like one of the fourth round picks that we have this year for number nine. That's a lot. That's a lot to put on a rookie wide receiver. And that's a lot to put on a rookie wide receiver who's not the number one receiver in the draft. You know, Marvin Harris doing that to trade up, but. We're talking number nine. Marvin Harrison's not going to be there at number nine. He is like the 100% sure fire thing in like wide at the wide receiver position in this draft. I mean, he's a dad. He's Marvin Harrison. You know, he's the one sure thing. You know, Malik Nabers and Odunze, you know, they could fade out. We've seen Terrence Marshall fade out. We've seen Justin Ross from Washington, he came out of the combine running the fastest 40, and everybody's like, oh, look, he is a good receiver. And he completely faded out. He actually just retired this year. So I wouldn't want to do it, like package all that just to get to number nine. If we're trading up, it better be like you said, top four.
Yeah. Let me ask you. Yeah, no, that would be insane. Okay, so that kind of sparks two questions I have. First one, because we've been kind of talking about the name already, is Marvin Harrison Jr. The whole pre-draft process that he has basically said, nope, not doing it. Does that concern you guys, or would that, if you're a GM, concern you at all with bringing him and potentially what some perceived as a diva attitude to your team?
The business aspect, it makes 100% sense. Like, why anything he does can't help him anymore. It can only hurt him. So what's the point of, you know, what if he runs a 4.56 40? Well, that, you know, that's pretty slow for a wide receiver nowadays. I mean, not slow, but you know, that's not eye popping numbers. You know, anything he does, it can only hurt him from here on out.
Yeah. Mike, anything to add?
No. I mean, okay. we're talking about already, you know, what some people call a diva in the locker room and adding another. So I don't think that hurts. Well, no.
I agree with you.
Big deal.
I think
people got their personalities, and if they're good players, I guess they can deserve to complain.
Again, pro day and the combine can only show you so much. I want to see what you do on a football field, not just running, you know, in your underwear. and catching wide open passes.
And that kind of brings up another question related to this whole draft process.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Do the players that are the projected first rounders, is there a need for them to do any of this? Is there a reason for it?
Go ahead, Mike. I'll let you start.
To me, it just shakes things up for the draft. Or it makes a player go to a team that's a better fit for them because they're putting in the work, looking, you know, scouting into that position. We've seen, you know, players opt out of doing certain things, and I don't know, maybe they already have a good idea of where they're going to go, and their confidence level of the work that they've shown, you know, during games. So I wouldn't say it affects it terribly, and I kind of like it. It's very interesting. I feel like I said, that a player might go to a team they more belong on because they've put in the work to look into the, you know, more into that scouting, that type of player, than, you know, than just watching them run around in their underwear or bowl games. Or
I don't know why y'all got to keep bringing up men in their underwear. It's just kind of weird.
Right, it's just weird. So okay. I guess that too. So if you don't want to, I guess you don't have to. So
yeah. So I'm with
but
you.
For me,
and as far as
you know, that's as much as we get. We get to see that on TV, and there's not much more that, you know, the average fan can see, you know, from home. So it's a thing as far as that is. But you know,
as a fan, we want it, right? That we want to see these guys perform, even if it's in their underwear. We want to see it. I think the way I look at it is I understand it from a business perspective. Like, but Roy here, the reason is money. The higher you're drafted, the more money you get. If you're already projected in that top 10, 15, 20 range, you're going to get a good rookie deal. Anywhere in the first round, you're going to get a good, solid rookie deal. I don't know if all of the drills and we're going to hashtag this, the Underwear Olympics. That doesn't really help them, I don't feel like. It's the guys after the first round or those that are on the fringe of the first round that this is important for. They want to try to get into that first round so they can get locked into that first round money. And then you look at throughout the draft from that point, the higher you get picked, the more money you make. You don't get drafted at all. You don't make any money. Well, you make money still as a UDFA, but not nearly as much, right? The one advantage of being it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The top guys don't have to prove it though.
So
and then they're going to make their money a few years into their league when they prove themselves in the NFL.
So people that it's important for, like the people that it's important for is the people that you said, Ronnie, like the fringe players. Well, really it's anybody in the back, you know, pretty much the back 12 of the draft. you can really move up and down that draft board at the combine. If you test terribly, team's going to drop you. Oh, look, it's out of season. He's out of shape. He's not committed. You know, it's more to it than just how they do perform. On the field. I mean, it stems from what's on the field, but it comes into what's their mentality like. You know, what's their home life like? Are they committed and working out when nobody's watching? You know, that kind of thing. But then it's also you see quarterbacks make their name at the combine because not everybody can watch every single quarterback of all 115 teams. And
JJ McCarthy is a good example of that.
Zach Wilson, an even better example. You know, that's the one throw. I've said it his entire career. One throw got him drafted at number two by the Jets. But then you see Josh Allen, who the combine really helped him. You know, he was able to show, this is my ability. You know, this is what I can do naturally. Give me the right coaching and refine me, and look what I can get to. And we've seen that.
Do you think Allen wouldn't have been a top 10 if not for his combine performance?
He probably would have been Rosen at 9.
I say Rosen at 9.
I think he was the Bills' pick if Baker was gone, no matter what.
So you're thinking that Buffalo was looking at Allen first and foremost?
I believe that ever since I started watching the draft, like watching his draft process. I think the Bills had a taste, and it was just happened to be the same taste I had. They wanted the gritty top quarterback. You know, Baker was proven. He was deemed the most NFL-ready quarterback. Josh was deemed to be the one that could be the best quarterback.
Which turned out to be accurate.
Yeah. I mean, if we went number one, if we had number one overall, it would have been tough for me to say Josh Allen at that point because of how much better Baker was at the time. But I think it was Baker 1, Josh 2 for the Bills, and that they weren't leaving the top 12 without him.
Yeah.
Agreed. I had another question, too, related to all of this draft stuff, and it's already, I don't know, we went off on a tangent.
About the age is getting to you.
Yeah, it is. 48, it's a killer. Before we move into the next thing, we do want to talk about the free agency and some of the players that are remaining, kind of what we think about the Bills' needs of positional needs. But want to kind of throw in a quick plug here for next week. We do have one of Buffalo Rumbling's own, Joe Miller, coming on the show next week. He's going to join us and give us some his thoughts on the free agency, where we're at. He has some thoughts on Curtis Samuel as well. So we're going to have him on. He is the host of the Overreaction podcast and the Off Tackle show with John Fina. So those are two great shows. He's going to be with us next week. And then, we have another guest that we just locked in today, but I'm not going to mention the name because we're still about 2 months out from that one. But we've got some people coming on the show. We've got some great things planned through the off season. And unlike most podcast, we will be here with you through the summer with the exception of maybe June. We might take a couple weeks off. We'll see when we get to that point, but
football players and podcasters need breaks too.
Yes. This is true. This is
we
true.
All deserve to golf.
Yeah, or try to golf. Next
week should be interesting though. I fly out to Florida on Tuesday picking up one of my daughters there, Ashley, who's been on the show a couple times, and my granddaughter, and we're driving all the way across the country back to Idaho with a stop in Texas to see my mom in Lubbock, Texas. So that's going to be great. I'll be doing the show next week from my mom's home. So different backdrop, but next week should be fun with Joe Miller.
Dude, you're driving of the 48 states combined. You were driving almost the furthest points far away from each other.
And if you're not going to stop and see us? Come on.
If you stop,
you're way out of the way.
So, we could meet.
Yeah, let's go from Idaho to Florida to New York down to Texas back up to Idaho. That dude's making a double throughout the country. Shout out to terrible. my friend Roman, though. Almost 2 years ago, he actually did that, though. He took off from New York, hopped in his car, drove down to Louisiana along the coast, then over and up to Vegas, over to San Diego, up through California, and then across the northern country, and then all the way back here to central New York.
Right.
He also did it in about 2 months, It was insane.
So
that's sleeping cool to see all parts of the country.
That is crazy.
Yeah. He had never left New York before.
Wow, that's never, nuts. He had never left New York.
It was insane.
Roy here needs a quick geographical education. Idaho is still part of the U.S. We have not defected yet.
If you've ever ate a potato, that's a U.S. product.
Yeah, right, it is. And I almost guarantee you it's coming
from all I got on top.
One of these fields out here. I don't know. Somewhere.
Ronnie says there isn't that many, but I find
out. They're out there. I think
there's also only like 7 people in Idaho, and they all live in Ronnie's house.
You're talking like a whole field of potatoes? Like, I've seen potatoes in a garden.
Well, yeah. They don't just grow them in people's backyard.
That's what I mean. I mean, we got cornfields here. We might have potatoes in the garden.
I was going to say, think of our cornfields.
Yeah.
It's just potatoes. Now, I live in the city, though, so,
right.
You know, I don't see a lot of the farm fields and things like that, but they're out there. I know they're out there.
I'm going exploring. Anyways. I never go out that way. Sorry.
We'll drive around. We'll find you a potato field, all right?
All righty.
Save your pennies.
I want a fresh, like the freshest baked potato.
Well, I've told you guys this before how this works, right? We grow them here in Idaho, and if you live in Idaho, you don't get the cream of the crop of the potatoes. They get exported out to the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. So what you guys are getting are the best of the best Idaho potatoes. What I get is McDonald's potatoes, all right?
Come on. Vegetable stands, man.
Hey, they make good fries.
They do. I actually had some yesterday.
Potatoes are shaped kind of like footballs, though.
So speaking of potatoes, do you guys remember when people snuck sweet potatoes into Arrowhead Stadium? Yep. And they, like, only because they said we're banning sweet potatoes because one person made a threat to bring a potato in. And Bill's Mafia's like, we are potato. It was awesome.
Yeah. Leave it to Bill's Mafia to do something like that. All right. Let's move on. Okay, I'm sorry that we went down that road. Man, I wish I could remember what the other question was that I had. But at any rate, we'll move on. So I'll just throw this one out there to both of you. First of all, we kind of want to get into some of the free agents that are still left out there. But, Casey, what do you think about the Bills and their free agency process up to this point? And do you think they're kind of done and now looking at the draft?
No, because I don't think that we're going to go in. We have something like, I don't know, 15 roster spots left. We have 11 draft picks. So at minimum, that would mean 4 more signings. And I also don't think we lead the draft with 11 players. So I don't think we're done. I think Bean's going to add. I mean, we saw him go after Eric Armstead. So I don't think he's done. I think he wants one more defensive line piece and not just a rotational defensive line, like defensive tackle. I think he wants somebody that can come in and actually make a difference, kind of have it be like a three-headed monster at defensive tackle with a fourth tackle as a de facto, just to give a couple snap break, you know, maybe a series break to Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones. I still think we're going to add an edge. I think we're going to add probably 2 more defensive tackles, or 1 more defensive tackle, 1 more edge, then draft 1 more safety. I think we're probably done at safety, bringing back Cam Lewis. Still having DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp and bringing in Mike Edwards. So I think we're done there. Corner, I could see us taking one late in the draft because at this point he would be our 4th corner, or, you know, Levi Wallace like we discussed last week. So I think our biggest needs now are depth and, like, people that don't have to absolutely start on day one. And we've seen that's what Brandon Bean's goal is every single year, going through free agency and going into the draft, is that not have any glaring needs so he can, you know, go best player available to a point in the first round, which I still, in my opinion, I think we don't make a pick at 28. Mm-hmm. We're either up or down.
What do you think, Mike?
I mean, I'd love to see us stay at 28 and keep things simple, because we've been doing mock drafts and this and that, and I have been trading a lot. But as far as free agents and stuff like that, I mean, I think I'm looking at the same thing Casey's just talking about, defensive linemen. I'm also looking at defensive ends as well, for depth, safety. We've added people there. So, yeah, I mean, unless I'm not ruling out either that, you know, maybe we do sign. I wouldn't be surprised if, honestly, if we sign another receiver out of free agency. But I'd like to think we're looking forward to that in the draft. I'm starting to think more and more that I want to see a receiver early in the draft, no matter where we pick. So focus on the D lineman, maybe out of free agency, and but not rule out a receiver either.
Ronnie, what do you think?
I'm with what Mike just said as far as wide receiver. I do think we target that in the first or second round. The first round is going to be, I think it's going to come down to value, because what you just said, being this is how he operates. He fills all the holes with free agency so that when the draft time comes, they can truly go best available player. At 28, I personally think that most likely the best available at that spot is going to be a receiver, just because there's so many with first round grades or presumed first round grades. But I've seen some mocks. In fact, I just did one the other day for Buffalo Lowdown, and I had a safety at pick 28, and it was Tyler Newbin. Because, again, value-wise, that was the best option. Do I think that Buffalo goes safety at that position? I think if that's the play, I think they drop back. I do. But I think if there's one of those top receivers that are there, I think that's where they go.
Mm-hmm. Now, where does the line for top receiver, what receiver does that line stop at with you?
Man, that is about, if I take my glasses off, that's how blurry that that line is. I don't have any idea.
Who's a good second-round receiver?
Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey.
But I could see them going first, though, as well.
I love Ladd McConkey. Love that idea. A lot of people don't, because they feel like he's a clone of both Diggs and Khalil Shakir. And the way I look at it, like, if he's a clone of those two, that's a good thing. I mean, okay.
I do like Leggett. We can get him later, right?
Yeah, well, maybe. I've seen some mocks with him in the first round, and I've seen some where he goes in the second round too. He's what one of those that, to me, kind of blurs the line.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I agreed. Like, for me, he is first one out on that line, to use a March Madness term. What I would like to see is trade back at from 28 to something like 33, 34, gain whatever draft capital you have, and then move up in the second round and take either Leggett or McConkey, or one of the defensive tackles, whether it be Mason Smith or, you know, Tavondre Sweat if he does fall that far, or someone like Tyler Newbin, mm-hmm, or Cam Kitchens. So, you know, and like somebody like, you know, somebody like that.
There's a lot of talent on the D line as well going to the draft.
I would be, if we trade back, I would assume it's not for a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Like if we traded back, I would expect us to be going someone like a Braden Fisk along the defensive line, or somebody like I just said, Tavondre Sweat.
Not as much and a skill position, but
and then correct. Yeah. But still getting one of the top guys at their position coming out of the draft. And then, like I said, using that draft capital that you gained and moving up to 40 to get, you know, that next level of wide receiver.
Yeah, I like Tavondre Sweat a lot. I like the size that he brings, 362 pounds, I think it is, something like that. There are some people that I've seen that have concerns with the size being too much, But then I think back to guys like Ted Washington and Sam Adams and how dominant the Bills' defensive line was back in those days.
Yeah.
Some people will tell you, though, that that's not the game today anymore, that that doesn't work like it did back then. I disagree because if you – I mean, look at it even now. When you've got a guy like Daquan Jones in that one technique spot occupying those blocks, that helps everybody. And when you've got to do this 200 or 360-plus pounds – and he's just standing there and three guys can't move him. That's huge for the entire line and the linebackers. Yeah. So I think there's still a place in this game for guys that size up front. So, yeah, I would love Tavondre Sweat. There's another interior defensive lineman that I like that we can get later in the draft. But I want to address Roy's question here first. Troy Franklin, wide receiver from Oregon, round one or two. Again, this is another one that I've seen go both. Mostly first round, though. I think if he's there at 28, I would not be shocked if Buffalo gets him. If they don't, I don't see him making it to pick 60.
I think he's a second rounder. I think it's an early second rounder. Or somebody trades back into the first from early second.
Yeah.
And get like somebody comes into the Bill spot and takes him.
Right.
I've seen a couple of his projections and his player comp most consistently that I've seen is Devontae Smith. And for some reason, I guess it's just being greedy. I want more out of my first round pick than Devontae Smith. I understand he's been a fantastic, you know, number two receiver, but we're looking at somebody to wait in the wings and take Diggs' spot in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for somebody that's going to be more game-breaking, has higher upside. This is where, you know, Brandon Bean and I are in line to where this is the director I want, the highest upside. You know, we've seen him do it with Gru and try to mold players, Josh Allen, Ed Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds. I would love to see them, you know, even if it is Xavier Leggett, like I said, I think you can trade back and get him, trade back into the second, get more draft capital. But Troy Franklin, he's somebody that, if we did trade back out of the first, draft a tackler or safety, and then move up in the second, I would be fine with that and taking Troy Franklin. But I wouldn't be thrilled taking him at 28.
Mm-hmm.
What's the earliest you would take him?
Second round.
Well, I know that, but where?
Just second round, you know, 30. Really, I mean, anywhere, there's just something about the number. Just being
so, you'd go. What would you go with at that point, other than receiver?
At 28,
yeah. Like if Troy Franklin's there, then
if you're looking at, do I have other options at wide receiver?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there if there's a better receiver out there, you're probably taking him though.
Well, yeah. If Brian Thomas is out there, I'm definitely taking Brian Thomas.
Right.
Could
be first round.
Let's talk about him for a sec.
But do you start looking at another position at that point right there?
No, if wide receiver is the best.
He was the best receiver available that time.
Oh, then I'd be looking at another position. I would 100%. Or trading back. Yeah, I'd 100% be looking to trade back.
Yeah.
Or unless Byron Murphy Jr. is there.
Okay.
The defensive tackle out of Clemson. Then I would 100% take him.
Man, I think.
Is he the one with the chosen one tattoo?
Probably.
I don't know.
With the what?
Chosen one across his neck. I think he hit. Oh. I don't know. I felt like a player had that.
I don't know.
No, he would be the chosen one at that point.
No clue. Mike is trying to take us down a different path. And
I am.
He's watching some weird videos lately.
Underwear Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, stop. No, let's not talk about that again. Okay. Brian Thomas Jr., is that somebody that you think the Bills should and might move up to try to get? And how far up do you think we would need to get or go in order to make that happen?
Maybe halfway up at least.
Top 14?
Or 10? Top 10? What do you think?
Nine? For Brian Thomas, I don't think you need to go that high.
No. All right. Halfway up.
I would say like 16? 24.
Or halfway through the – I don't
remember 24. How we moved up. Remember how
Guarantee
we
it.
Moved up. We moved up for Elam two spots. We moved up for Kincaid two spots. So you've seen that's Brandon Bean's soft spot. It's just about two spots in front. I think it would have to be, you know, something like 25, 24, though. So he would have to give up a little bit more than he'd be expecting. But what just scares me, like, so the 2019 or whatever year it was, LSU
what teams have
Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. I mean, that was disgusting. Like that was two, you know, NFL number one wide receivers on a team with a Pro Bowl quarterback at the helm playing college football. But then you look at like just the history of wide receiver twos coming out of LSU. It's not fantastic. You know, people thought Terrence Marshall coming out with Justin Jefferson that year, they were like, he might be even better than Justin Jefferson because he had the set, you know, he had all the measurables you could think of. And the Panthers took him early in the second round. And he hasn't really worked out. You know, I mean, I understand OBJ and Jarvis Landry worked out at LSU together. But again, that was two, you know, number one NFL wide receivers at some point in time. And also 15 years ago. So I'm drafting a number two worries me.
What do you mean? Just a number two receiver?
Yeah.
Like the high end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Who, between Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, and Troy Franklin, Mike, who are you taking of those three?
At 28.
Assuming all three are there, which they may or may not be.
If Brian Thomas is there? Not,
but.
If Brian Thomas McConkey.
I'd say, you have to pick Thomas if he's there.
You have to? See, here's the thing with McConkey that drives me, pulls me towards him. His scouting reports and everything I've read talks about two things primarily to stand out. One is hands, and two, he is the most polished route runner in this draft. Like, he is the guy that can come in right now and be a legitimate number two wide receiver with that number one upside because he runs such great route running. You don't have to teach that skill. And that's a skill that, to me, can be taught to a point. But like a Stephon Diggs, you're either great at it or you can get better, but you're still going to be, you know, you're all right. But Brian Thomas Jr., yes, he has all the traits. He's got the height, the size, the speed.
Right.
McConkey's still a 4.39 speed. That's what he ran at the combine. So it's not like he's slow by any stretch of the imagination. But for me, it's that route running. That's the number one space separation creator, right? Is your route running. Because, I mean, again, I go back to Diggs. He's not the fastest guy on the field. Never is. Yet he can get open. He creates space because he's got such tremendous route running ability.
Yeah. But I feel like we want that physical receiver too with the size and the traits like that. I feel like that's something that we're lacking that we need to add.
I'm going to get shredded for this.
Oh, here
you
go.
You know who McConkey reminds me of?
Oh man.
Oh. It should be really simple. Cooper Kupp.
Okay. I mean, that's like a pretty good comparison.
But like because Kupp can play inside, outside. He's the king of motion. Ladd McConkey was the king of motion along with Brock Bowers at Georgia. I think that he can be a real chess piece that can be moved all around the board and kind of free up Kincaid from being the sole scapegoat for Josh Allen and let McConkey kind of run, do a little Beasley, but you know, still having the speed and the ability to get downfield on a crossing route and get wide open for Josh, not deep like Cooper Kupp does. I mean, that's his MO, go in motion and then run diagonally across the field. Then he's just fast enough. And that's exactly what I see with McConkey. So I would love McConkey. If we take a wide receiver in the second round, he is like he and Leggett are the one I'd want, and I would take him over Leggett.
But Leggett has the size, right?
Yeah, like it has, you know, every.
I just feel like we have enough of the other already, and I'm just ready for that. We lost Gabe, who was sort of physical.
Right. There are fans like yourself that want that size and that physical aspect to the receiving core. I personally don't subscribe to that simply because we've talked about this with the running backs. I don't feel like we need a power back. I don't feel like we need a third down back. We need a guy who can do all of it, because then you can become far more versatile. You can disguise things. You have better. You're less predictive. If you have
Hail Mary, you want someone that's going to go grab that jump ball.
Dalton Kincaid can go get that ball.
All right.
And from what we've seen so far, he is the best one.
You ever seen that movie, White Men Can't Jump?
Tell me you both have seen it.
Yeah, long time ago.
And I refuse to watch the new version because I'm like, there's not a chance that it will live up to what the other one, the old one was. But real quick, my wife has never seen it, so.
Oh, you need to fix that. You got to fix that.
I tried to on a flight to Florida one time, and she was having none of it.
Hey, let's do this. Let's just throw this in right now. This summer, after things kind of slow down as far as free agency, the draft, and everything, we should do a little segment on the show, the top 10 sports movies of all time. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
I'm in on that.
Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, we'll get some of our listeners in on it, too. That'd be a lot of fun. Roy brought up another question here, which I'm really, really glad that Roy mentioned this, because this was the question that I had forgotten earlier, and he's bringing it back to my mind. So trading up for Sammy Watkins still has me scared. That was my question.
Scared or scarred?
Scarred.
Scarred. Both. Sorry.
Both.
Scarred. Well, yeah, both. For me, it's scared because of how that turned out. That trade to me set the Bills back again in the drought period. One of many moves that set the Bills back. I am not willing to trade up even this year and give up another first. If we can do it without giving up next year's first, okay, fine. I'm not a big fan of doing double first in a trade for anybody, unless maybe you're looking for a quarterback, which we don't. We're not. So, but what do you guys think about that potential of trading two first rounds to get way up in the draft?
Go ahead, Mike. You're the trade happy one.
Not really. Trading two first round picks to go way up?
Yeah. This year's first and next year's first to get into top 15, maybe. I don't know exactly how high that could get you, but.
Not very high.
You're going for Marvin, right?
No. No. Oh. When Buffalo did that, I believe they had the ninth pick that year and they moved up to the fourth pick.
Yeah.
And but they cost them two first round picks to do that.
Yeah.
Well, we saw what it cost the Niners to move up one spot to draft Trey Lance. They gave up 2 years worth of draft picks.
Epic fail.
Yeah, right. To trade him for a fifth rounder.
I think it'd be a waste because we have no clue what the options are going to be next year in the first round.
So
I say we'd be careful with it at this point.
If we're trading up, I want to go all in. So
we could use this year's draft picks if we want to go up.
I would be fine with trading next year's first because that means we would be going 100% all in, you know, and getting someone like Adunzi or Malik Nabers, because that means next year's draft pick is, you know, going to be 28, anywhere between pick 28, pick 32. So it's not like we're going to be losing a top 12, top 15 pick. We will be picking in the latter half of the draft, just about no matter what, barring any significant, you know, breakdown of the team. So I would be, if we're trading up, I want to go all in, you know, get rid of, you know, a first this year, our first next year, you know, goodbye to our second next year, our third, and probably both of our fourths this year.
Oh, that hurts.
It would be something like that. But we would be getting Rome Odunze would be getting Malik Nabers. And, like, that's somebody who, like, this also speaks to the fact that I trust Brandon Bean, because that set us back how many years doing the Sammy trade. But look at what we had as management back then. You know, it was clowns running our team at that point. But so like we have somebody who actually knows what they're doing now and has built this team from the ground up. So if he made that decision, I'd be like, he has the same thought process as me. It's going to be a late pick in the draft next year anyway. You know, we sacrificed it, and look what happened last time I traded a first round pick. I got a number one team's record setting wide receiver and quite possibly the best receiver this team has ever had.
Yeah, but they only gave up the one first, or did they give up two first rounds?
They gave up a first, and they gave up a first, a third, and a fourth.
Okay, that I'm fine with. I just don't feel, especially in this draft, I'm not comfortable giving up two first round picks this year, next year's, especially for a wide receiver, because there's so many good ones in this draft that I do feel I don't think there's that significant of a drop off from a Neighbors and Odunze to a Leggett or Brian Thomas Jr. or Ladd McConkey. There's just so many. Outside of wide receiver, is there anybody in that top 10 that you would want that would make that much of a difference on this team?
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. We could be getting Dallas Turner. You know, say we trade with the Giants, we go to number 6. That would fit right in with us and exactly like a need that we would have immediately for the future. Groot's going to be on has 2 years left on his deal, maybe one. Brandon Bean still has a decision on his 5th-year option to make by May. I think it's May 19th. Von Miller is probably on his last year with the Bills. We have AJ Epenesa locked up for 3 years, but after him, we're in purgatory, kind of like we were this year at defensive tackle. So I would 100% be okay with taking Dallas Turner. He's hands down the best edge rusher coming out of this draft. So,
yeah, edge rusher. Yeah, I can get on board with that for sure. Because you've mentioned this before, if you want to get a true elite pass rusher, you almost always have to get him in the top 10, 15 picks. We have a Twitter question here that popped up. What are your thoughts on trading back? We've kind of talked a little bit about that, but this individual is looking between, say, 33 to 38, 39 range and acquire an extra second, pick up two quality immediate help players. If you do that, who are the two positions? Well, we'll just start there first. What are the two positions that you would be looking at in with two second round picks?
Defensive tackle, wide receiver. Not particularly in that order. No, because I think you can get safeties. The top safety coming out of the draft, the last first round safety was Kyle Hamilton. We've seen him become quite possibly the best safety in the league. Last year, the first safety, the best safety in the draft, Mike's draft crush, Brian Branch, wasn't taken until late in the second round. I think that we can wait and still get a high quality safety in the third round.
Yeah. As far as trading back for 2 second rounders, I mean, I agree with Casey that you could get a decent safety in the third. But I think it is, one of the positions you'd explore with 2 second round picks. And aside from wide receiver, definitely D-line, D-end, something like that, because there's definitely plenty of talent there as well.
Yeah, I'm with both of you on that. I definitely think Buffalo drafts a safety. Let's shift gears here a little bit and pivot back towards free agency, because we've got a month before the draft, so we're going to be talking a whole lot about it. We've already talked a whole lot about it in this show tonight. But with the free agency, we addressed it a little bit. Casey, you said that you don't think that they're done yet. Is there one or two free agents out there for both of you that you think that would make a good fit with the Bills that maybe Buffalo could go after? And just to kind of preface this with, currently, overthecap.com has the Bills with about $4 million cap space. That does not include Trey White's $10 million cap savings when June 1st hits. I don't know if that's a completely updated numbers based on the recent contracts or not, but that as of right now is what they're showing. So there's money to be spent.
Mm-hmm. I now is when I would be fine with bringing in somebody like, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, someone like that. Ronnie, you mentioned Austin Johnson, I believe his name was, before the show, the defensive tackle. You know, maybe Clowney would be willing to take a $5.5 million deal. At least leave us with just under $2 million. But he had his best season of his career last year. You know, he had double digit sacks. So I think this year he's going to be looking to break a payday. My guy before that was Chase Young and Justin Simmons. Well, we signed Mike Edwards. I still think Justin Simmons would be awesome for the Bills. I think you could put him and Mike Edwards back there and just let him go wild. I trust both of them over Taylor Rapp, I got to be honest.
I mean, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Simmons is arguably one of the top five safeties in the league.
Top five, for sure. At 31 years old.
Yeah.
And he's played for the Broncos his whole career, so you know he's about ready to chase a ring.
But I'll play devil's advocate with that, though, the age. There's very clearly a direction for the Bills and what Brandon Bean is doing to get younger, particularly on the defensive side. So I don't know for that reason that they would go after Simmons. Also, the money. I don't know that they'd be willing to pay that kind of money when they just got Mike Edwards, who, no, he's not as good as Justin Simmons, I don't think. But I do think he'll fit well in this defense, and I do think he will. He's a solid option.
Mm. And could be good for a few picks, you know? Don't mind that.
Oh, yeah. You said picks. I thought you were talking about the draft. I was like, what?
Yeah, get him, trade him. Pick him up, trade him. No.
Sign him and trade him. No. That happens in baseball a lot, actually, sign and trades.
Not yet.
But yeah, so Simmons, I don't think that's going to happen. I honestly think that that was the direction that they were probably going. But I think the money was an issue. I think Simmons is wanting more money than Buffalo's willing to pay, or can, maybe. But I like Mike Edwards. I like Taylor Rapp and where we're at. As far as the 11 starters on defense goes, I'm pretty okay with that. Especially, and this is a big if, Von Miller is okay. If he is at least, I don't know, say 80% of the Von Miller before the injury, I'm okay with that. And we also need Groot to take a step up and increase that 6.5 sacks. And we're probably going to get more from AJ Epenesa. I think his snap count will go up. If those three guys can improve on last year, which should not be hard for Von Miller, just make a tackle and it's already better. Then I think we'll be fine.
And each of the other guys just make one more tackle.
Yeah. Well, we need some more sacks out of those three. Roy, yes, Austin Johnson.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that familiar with Austin Johnson. I kind of did a little bit digging around. I think he had I'm probably wrong. I think
I got
somebody
it here.
Else. But he's... Anyways, while he's looking that up, Austin Johnson is somebody that if you're not a follower on Twitter, if you don't pay attention or anything on Twitter, Daquan Jones basically gave Austin Johnson a shout out saying essentially he would look great in a Buffalo Bills uniform. He's a great player. Mm-hmm. He's mentioned the name a couple of times. Austin Johnson was in town at One Bills Drive yesterday for a visit. I will go out on a limb and say he will be signed by the end of the weekend. That's just me guessing. I don't have any insider information or anything, but it's just how I'm, you know.
Not just here. You're saying with any team.
No, with Buffalo.
You think he's coming to Buffalo for sure?
I do.
All right, cool.
Well, I wouldn't say for sure.
I don't know what stat you're looking up, but I got a few of them here.
Go for it. Well, Austin Johnson numbers.
He did have zero sacks last year, but he did have a few with his last year with the Giants. That looked like a pretty good year for him, 2021. Like you said, not too familiar with him. But you know, showing that he could have 46 tackles in a season, you know, you're plugging the hole.
Yeah, and I think he's big. Like he's 6'4", pressures 6'4", last year.
314.
Yeah. I think he's a one tech guy for sure. He's not an end Oliver guy.
Right.
So, and with that, let's talk about Ed Oliver for a minute. We don't have an Ed Oliver right now on the team. We don't have anybody that I think can fill in a rotation Oliver's shoes at the three tech spot, which does concern me a little bit because Oliver played more snaps last year than he's played in any previous year. And in that last game, it looked like it wore him out. So is there anybody out there that you guys, as far as the free agency goes, that maybe we could help fill that need?
There's plenty. And I think, I mean, in reality, we are going to sign more players at that position. So, like,
I think so.
Ronnie, I wouldn't be surprised if you guessed that. but there's a few other players out there. Casey mentioned Clowney. We're just talking about in the middle.
Well, we've seen Groot drop down into the three tech. You know, we've seen them go with three basically edge rushers, you know, and one defensive tackle.
Right.
So I think we could be seeing a decent amount of that with him dropping down to three tech and AJ and Vaughn and Daquan in the middle.
Right.
AJ and Vaughn on the outside, I should say.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of use that a little bit more because of how good he is at stopping the run.
Yeah.
You know, they can trust. No, he. All right, we have a pretty good pass rusher coming in, and we don't lose anything in the run defense taking Ed Oliver out.
Mm. I know there's one. There's one guy Ronnie mentioned before the show that Casey's not too crazy about, and that's Fletcher Cox.
Oh.
And I know Ronnie wanted to talk about him because
We can't sign Justin Simmons because of age, but Fletcher Cox is older than God's green earth.
I did not say I want him signed. I'm just throwing names out there.
I know defensive tackles
are available.
Okay.
I know. He's just the one that I'm like, no thanks.
Agreed. Well, talking about older players, let's talk about one that was already on the Bills team, and that's Jordan Phillips. He's still a free agent. He's 32 years old, did not have a particularly great season last year. He still had 2.5 sacks. I think 15, 17 total tackles. It was kind of an uninspiring season. Would you be all right bringing him back? But again, he's 6'6", 334 pounds. He is, again, the one tech. First, to answer the question as far as whether or not you'd be okay bringing him back as far as for depth.
I think it's a good piece, and he probably wouldn't be too expensive.
Well, we need the depth behind Daquan Jones, so it's fine. And
true.
With the level of player that we'd be bringing in, and for the price it would be, I would rather have somebody that does already know the system compared to trying to bring in another face.
Right, which kind of leans into where I'm going as far as the draft. Defensive linemen typically don't play well their rookie year. There is a significant learning curve. I want to find that defensive line rotation through free agency and still bring in a draft pick or two that can learn in their first year. And there is one particular name that I want to throw out there for everybody to remember. As far as draft crushes go, this is my guy. He's a middle of the draft guy, but Christian Boyd, Northern Illinois, little old Northern Illinois. I love the tape that I've watched on him, the scouting report, and the one thing that really stands out that everybody talks about is his relentless, nonstop pursuit and motor. I've seen some people compare him to the likes of Max Crosby and just the way he plays, not necessarily the level of talent, but just the way he plays, and I love that. So that's somebody that long-term I would love for the Bills to get. And we'll talk more about some of that as the draft gets nearer as, you know, the next coming weeks. But another name here that Roy Collins brings up is, I think his name is pronounced Tier, something like that, Tier Tart.
Tier Tart, yeah.
Tier Tart.
He's
asking if he's a three tech, and I honestly do not know.
Right. He's listed as a D tackle. He's for those who don't know, he's with Houston last season. But yeah, he's 6'2", 304. And he, I don't know, it looks like he only played a couple games last year. So I don't know. He might be dealing with coming off injury. So I'm not really sure, but yeah, it looks like he's listed as a.
Yeah, he's definitely a defensive tackle. We'll look into that more, yeah. Roy, and bring that and talk about that next week, and look into some of these other guys. I'm gonna pause here. We're a little over an hour of the show, which is fine. Yeah. We broke another record. We are 1,143 live viewers as we speak right now, which once again 1,144 numbers still climbing, which is another 3 weeks in a row we've set a viewership record. We love you guys. This is fantastic. This is awesome. So much fun. We love doing this. I guess we're going to have to get out of here because we are over an hour and I don't want to go too much longer, but yeah. I want to also leave it open to you guys. You guys have anything extra you want to add? And if we go a little longer, then so be it.
Whatever. I like you said, just thanks everyone for watching. We really appreciate it. Watching live or on the podcast, recorded here on Buffalo Rumbles Network. I give a huge shout out to John supporting us at Game On Sports. You can check him out. More info. We'll have an ad at the end of the show. You can catch us on Facebook, the Mafia Cast on Facebook, YouTube. Same with Game On Sports, Game On Video Games and Sports Memorabilia. Find them on Facebook as well. We're on YouTube, all the podcast apps, wherever you want to find us, we're there. Like, thanks again, and that's all I got.
Please find us on that Facebook page at the Mafia Cast.
We're trying to grow that.
We want more followers. We want to grow that.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, you got anything?
Trade back.
Yeah.
Casey wants to trade back. I highly doubt that's going to happen. But we'll talk more about the draft next week. Again, we got Joe Miller from the Overreaction Podcast Show and the Off Tackle Show with John Fina. He'll be with us next week. I'll be doing the show from my mom's house. Looking forward to that. Not looking forward to the drive so much, but it'll be a good time to spend with my daughter and granddaughter. So for the Mafia Cast, all of Bills Mafia, we'll see you guys next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153.